Thank you so much, Rosemary, Pastor Ansu, and praise team. That was just beautiful. That is a great song. That should be one of our First Baptist anthems. That's so good. Thank you guys so very much for leading us in worship today. It is great to be back with you. We had a great time being away for a week. It was hot, but it was great. So we praise God. We look forward to coming back and seeing everyone. And having the encouragement of being in the body today is a great thing. Because even when you go away, life's problems don't all go away, do they? So glad that God's presence and God's people kind of go with us wherever we go. So we praise God for that. Let's just take a moment to unite our hearts in prayer this morning. And we're going to dive into God's word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, dear God, for the day that you have given us. Lord, you say in your word that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I pray, dear God, that we will be able to do that today. And Father, even do it better, Lord, in the days ahead as we understand your word, as we understand, Lord, the resources that we have in you. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, in these issues that we're going to talk about this morning. Father, I just ask that you would just quiet our hearts down for a moment. Lord, there's a million things, Lord, that we're probably thinking about. We're probably even worrying and anxious about them, and some we're afraid of. But I pray, dear God, that you would just stop us for a minute this morning, that we might hear eternal truth, Lord, from your word that will stabilize us, Lord, in the midst of living this life, Lord, that is challenging, that is broken, and, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. And I just ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts now this morning. Take away all the distractions, I pray, and just work in us, Lord, as only you can. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So take out your Bibles, if you would, today. Go over to the book of Matthew chapter 6. We are in really the second week of our series, the third week of our series, I'm sorry, Facing Our Foes Big and Small. And I don't know about you, but we all got issues, right? You know, as the body of Christ, I think sometimes we thought back in the day that only some people had issues because they weren't doing things right. Now, as we kind of grow older and grow up in the faith, we realize we all got stuff that we're wrestling with. We all have enemies and foes. And guess what? Often they defeat us. And that's tough, isn't it? So let's talk about how do we get through that and move on with that. So I just want to share with you our story today, which is we're talking about facing our foes, and we're going to talk about these issues: the acceptable sins of fear, anxiety, and worry. Now, I know no one here has that problem, right? And the problem is, and I was kind of reading this, and I kind of know it. It's that everybody struggles with this problem. Sometimes we fake it real good. Other times, it's real obvious that we're wrestling with these things. But we struggle with that. So I just want to describe the picture for you guys. You guys know we went away just a week ago, but about a few days before we went away, this was the scene in front of my house. And you can see the backhoe. You can see the township sewage pumping truck. All these people. I don't know about you. How many folks have had their water systems replaced in front of their house? Like a lot of municipalities are changing their water systems, yeah. Well, they changed ours, too. In the process of changing ours, the water coming in is what they fixed, the water main and the access to our house. They broke the sewer in front of our house. And Jane is particularly, you know, aware of things that are going on, and she was downstairs, and I flushed the toilet upstairs, and the downstairs toilet became like a volcano. She said, "I think something's wrong." You're right. Something is wrong. And, you know, we went to the people. They were still on our street. They were actually three houses down, and they had done the same thing there. And I said, "I think we have a problem." They said, no, it's no problem. It must be you. So, you know, this process took the entire day where they had to excavate all the work they did, dig up our street, and they found that in fixing the water coming in, they had actually crushed the sewer pipe going out. So they were able to fix it, and even though it was our fault, they said, our township came and they
They actually stood, the township engineer was with them and watched them do the whole job to make sure they did it right, which is really cool. And meanwhile, I know Jane was looking out the window. You probably can't see it in the slide, but this is taken through the screen. I know Jane was looking out the window, and this she was thinking about a whole lot of things, and really a whole lot of things were a whole lot of dollars that were probably going to go out of our pocket when you see all this equipment in front of your house. So I say that to say this. Don't we all wrestle with the things of life? We fear, we're anxious, we worry, and we all do. By the way, pastors worry, you know, deacons worry. We all worry. We all wrestle and we struggle with these things. And I want to put this as a question this morning as we kind of dig in. It just seems like worry, fear, and anxiety can just fill our everyday lives. Seems like we get through one thing and there's another thing to think about or worry about or be anxious about, right? Everybody deal with that. There's always something going on. We say it in church, right? There's always something. And there really is always something, right? So I ask this question, is there hope for change and a better future? Do we have to worry? Do we have to always be anxious and struggle? And I want to look at God's word today. I want to kind of try to answer that question as we dig in. So I want to throw this out as our eternal truth this morning, and here it is, right? And by the way, I pick up where Pastor Ansu left off, right? We learned last week that anger does what? It wars in our flesh. Well, you know what? The acceptable sins of fear, anxiety, and worry weaken our soul. They really do. And they trouble our walk with God. They make us doubt God, question God, wonder what's going on, wonder if we're going to make it, if we're going to get through, if we can do another day or another week, another year. And I want to throw this out. We have to replace those sins with works of faith, labors of love, and a persevering hope. And that comes from a walk with God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning and kind of debunk some ideas. And I want to throw this out. By the way, here's a thought. When you think about sin and the issues of sin, does worry, anxiety, and fear typically hit your mind? Usually you think about the big sins, right? Like, you know, murder, stealing, you know, rape, all the big stuff, right? But the little sins, quote unquote, in our minds really affect our lives. And I want to share this verse. This verse was in Daily Bread this week, which I thought was really, really good. And it comes from a book that we seldom maybe read or think a whole lot about, Song of Solomon. And I want you to picture this for a second. And by the way, this Song of Solomon, it's about two people in love, right? Solomon and his love. And he writes these verses. He says, "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past.'" Think about winter as kind of a dark, difficult time, right? "The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs." Like, you know, spring kind of feels like life begins again. And he's kind of talking about those things in his relationship with his wife. And it says, "And the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell." And he says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." It's kind of like they're looking for this, like, wow, we're just going to celebrate this season. But I want to take you to, I skipped over one verse, but here's the verse after that. It says this, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." And I want you to think about that for a second. Here's what I'm talking about. Like this sin, these sins, these issues we're going to talk about today, we don't like to talk about them, we like to think about them. We don't think they're a big deal. But they're like the little foxes that mess up the vineyard, that mess up the vintage, that mess up life. So today I want us to focus our energy and really think about these things. And we're going to dive right into them today. Fear, anxiety, and worship. Excuse me, worry. Worship gets replaced by worry a lot, right? Fear, anxiety, and worry. And you see a picture of the guy. It's kind of like, ah. And we all been there, right? So let's take a minute. Let's just define some terms this morning. And by the way, there's a lot of things I want to share with you. it would be helpful to jot them down, take out your bulletin for a second. Let's just talk for a second about our emotions. And just what are our emotions? What are they? So emotions are, there are conscious mental reactions such as anger. Pastor Ansu talked about it last week. I was worried, by the way, about Pastor Ansu because I didn't want him to be angry because I was gone, Rose was gone, you know, Carol was out a couple of days. And I think he did okay, right? He wasn't too angry, right? Amen, right? Amen. So emotions, one of them's anger, another one's fear, and they're subjectively experienced, right, by all of us as a strong feeling, usually directed toward a specific object and typically accompanied by physiological and behavioral changes in the body. I'll give you an example. When you get angry, what happens? You turn, like, people like me, right, turn really red, you know, they sweat, you may sweat, you get kind of, your body temperature goes up, those are those physiological changes, right? When you're anxious, right, what happens? Your heart beats faster, your blood pressure goes up, right? And that was too, like, when I was going through all this stuff with my parents, when Jay and I went to get our blood pressure checked. And he's like, I don't know, we got to keep an eye on this, you know, because our blood pressure was high, you know, it's really high. And we have a little bit of white coat syndrome on top, so the doctor was a little afraid. And thankfully now it has gone down a lot, which is great. But those things, those emotions really drive what happens in our body. But I want to say this, and I appreciate there's a guy, his name is Dr. Alchin. Emotions, though, are given by God, and here's their purpose, to put us in motion. Stop and think about that for a second. Emotions put us in motion, right? If we're angry in a righteous way, it drives us to fix a problem. If we're concerned about something in a righteous way, in a biblical way, it moves us to fix what's broken and fix what's wrong. And that's what emotions do, right? And I'll throw this out, everybody get this in your mind. Emotions themselves are not sin. So if you're sad, you're angry, you're down, you're depressed, you know, you're anxious about something, you have fear about something, emotions themselves are not sin. But what you do with them can certainly be. And Pastor Anson, in his message last week, you know, thinking about anger. Think about the crazy things you all did and I did when I was angry. Anybody ever broke something? Raise your hand. This is church. We real here, right? Anybody ever broke something? Yeah, right? You know, anybody ever said something you wish you could pull back? Yeah, we did that, right? So emotions aren't the sin, but man, what happens as a result of those emotions really drive us into the sin. So emotions should not control us as they are. Because they're not reliable guides due to the effects of sin. I'll throw this out. When Adam and Eve sinned and mankind fell, it affected everything on earth. And our emotions have been affected by our sin. So we can't rely on them. Just because I'm angry doesn't mean I can destroy everything. Right? Or just because I'm sad doesn't mean I should just shut down and give up on life. Right? Emotions, they're not reliable. God's word and his principles in his word and the empowerment and the leading of the Holy Spirit is what we need to rely on. Our emotions are part of us. We can't dismiss them, but they can't be the engine on the train. People like to say it this way. Think of it this way. The principles of God's word are the locomotive. The emotions are the caboose on the back. Right? I hope that makes sense, right? The emotions can't drive us. And stop, think about some of the things you would have did if you let go into your emotions. You know, probably some of you wouldn't be sitting here. Maybe I wouldn't either. We'd be sitting somewhere else with bars or something, right? You understand, right? So can't let emotions drive us. So we're going to move down. That's emotions. Let's talk about fear from Webster, right? What's fear? Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or the awareness of danger. And by the way, emotions are God-given, right? Fear, and I put it down here underneath, fear is a God-given emotion when our mind alerts us to danger, real or perceived. And by the way, thank God for this emotion of fear. And I'll go down to the scriptures there. It says, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, of his consequences, of his holiness, of our reverence for him, is the beginning of knowledge, Solomon said in Proverbs. And he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So fear is not a bad thing. Everybody look up for a second. How many folks, when you were young, maybe you were a teenager, you didn't do certain things because you were afraid of your parents? Raise your hand. Two hands. Yeah, raise them both if it's a lot of things. Raise them both, right? Think about that, right? Think about the fear of your parents kept you from a lot of trouble, right? And that's a good thing. So fear is not necessarily a bad thing if it motivates us to do what God wants us to do. But I'll throw this out. How many times is fear paralyzing? Fear, like you can't do anything because you're so afraid. You stop. Right? That's not a good thing. And that's kind of when we crossed over this line. And by the way, notice Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you, God says. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Everybody look up. Get this. I will strengthen you. When you're afraid, God will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, when you can't uphold yourself, when you're so afraid of whatever it is you're afraid of, God is going to uphold you. He's going to keep you there, right? Fear is a good thing, but fear, we can't let it become a paralyzing thing. And courage, by the way, let's kind of define a term that's not on the screen, but the idea of courage, right? Courage, even we say encourage, or when we encourage someone, we try to give them courage to move forward even though everything is a mess. The idea of courage isn't you're not afraid, it's you're going to move ahead even though you are afraid. And that's what God in his word teaches us to do in the power of his Holy Spirit. So that's fear. It gives us a little idea about fear. Let's talk about anxiety. Anybody anxious? Somebody said, I'm anxious because lunch is coming. Don't be too anxious because it's going to be a little while. Here's the idea. Anxiety is an emotion characterized by apprehension and somatic or bodily symptoms of tension in which an individual anticipates impending danger, catastrophe, or misfortune. By the way, you know what that feels like, right? Anybody tense a little bit? And you make a decision, like, oh, I don't know if it's the right one. Or you're trying to do something, you know, the veins come out of your neck. You know, and you kind of get a little tense, right? By the way, I'll throw this out, going back to Pastor Anthony's message last week. When you all are tense and anxious, guess what? It comes out in your behavior. In the way you say things, in the way you do things, in the way you act, in the shortness of your speech, in the lack of caring for others. The Bible says, season your words with salt. When we're anxious and nervous, the salt goes out the window and the words come out like fire, right? That's what he's talking about here. That's what anxiety is. And it says the body often mobilizes itself, this idea of fight or flight, to meet the perceived threat. Muscles become tense, breathing is faster, and the heart beats more rapidly. And here's the deal. Get this about anxiety. Anxiety is considered a future-oriented, long-acting response broadly focused on a diffuse or a specific threat where fear is an appropriate, present-oriented, and short-lived response to a clearly identifiable and specific threat. Let me define that. That's big words, right? Here's what he's talking about. So fear, right, can be very short-lived. I'm afraid for this moment. What anxiety is, and I said it up here on the screen, anxiety is what we feel when our body is responding to the emotion of fear. And anxiety sticks even when fear is gone. So anxiety is, that's why your blood pressure's up, your heart rate's up, you can't sleep, or you want to eat everything, or you don't eat at all those kind of things, right? That's what anxiety looks like. And Philippians says this, and we'll talk about how to get here. Look what Paul said. In this verse, sometimes people say, are you kidding? But the Lord says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 John says this, faith is the victory. When I trust God with things I can't change, God gives me peace. But I'll throw this out. A lot of us, when we're feeling anxiety, we're still trying to change the things we can't change, and guess what? They're not changing, and we have no peace, right? How many of us out there are repair people? I don't mean that you work for a company that fixes washing machines, but you try to fix everything. Raise your hand. Who are they? Who are you? We repair. We repair everything. That's what we do. Just call me. I got it. How many times have we not got it, even in our own house, right? Right? That's the problem. But here, the idea is, by the way, these are scriptures. And again, I want to break these down in a way that we can use them and really change what we do. So we know that's where God wants us to go. We know the peace of God is available. But here's the problem. We're not quite sure how to get there, are we? Because we've done this, and sometimes we've experienced it, sometimes not. So what's worry? So get this in our mind, right? Fear, right, is the foundation of this. There's a fear of something. We get anxious about our fear, about what's going to go on. And then long term, we continue to worry about it. So what's worry? Worry is a state of mental distress or agitation due to a concern about an impending or anticipated event, threat, or danger. So get this in your mind. Like this guy, Alchin said this. He said, worry is the thought process. And by the way, everybody look up. Get this in your mind. Worry is the thought process that mulls over, and I want to add this for emphasis, and over and over and over and over, this is worry. Worry is this thought process that mulls over and gives power to the object of your fear. Do you get it? So you are afraid. Everything's okay. Maybe you're still anxious. Is it going to come back? Is it going to happen again? And then what do you start to do? Just keep thinking about it. 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 And let me ask the question, everybody look up. Has that helped you in your situation? It hasn't helped me, right? And that's the issue. That's what worry looks like. So worry is, now our mind is going and we can't stop it. I know I've said this and you guys may have said this before. You ever have a night where you're trying to sleep and you can't shut off your mind? Or you wake up, this is me sometimes, and I might wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and I can't go back to sleep because my mind starts and is going and I'm thinking about all things I gotta do today. I probably can't even do them all today, but I keep thinking about them and I can't sleep and I can't rest and I probably wake up pretty nasty and anxious. You know, my anxiety and my worry come out and, you know, I can sugarcoat it maybe at church, but at home it just comes out like a lion, right? Or, you know, maybe even at church after a while, right? So that's the problem. That's what we're talking about. And get this idea. Get this in our thoughts for a second this morning. Central to this idea, get this in your minds, right? Central to this idea of worry is this, is that we can control things. We worry because we think we can control stuff. Everybody look up. We can't control almost anything, right? Just kind of, you know, the word of God, right? Kind of the truth sets us free. Well, here's the truth that'll set us free. You and me control very little on this earth. I can't change anyone's mind. I can't change their heart. I can't change the stock market. I can't change how bad my car runs. I can't change the plumbing in my house. I can't do any of those things, right? So why am I worried about those? You understand? It's like an unprofitable experience. Do that, right? But that's the problem. And here's the illusion of control works inside our anxiety. We think we got to control it all, and we can't do it. And it says, and we can't control or change something, we worry. Dave Powelson said this, when we can't control or change something, we worry about it. Our focus is changing the future in a very self-sufficient way without God. And I'll throw this out. I got a lot of energy. I don't got enough to change all those things that I worry about. Some of you are some pretty energetic folks. And you know, and Jesus said this. We'll look at this passage. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I want you to get this idea in our mind about, think about this idea of worry in the scriptures. The Greek word for worry is mirim nao. It's two words, right? The first word is the idea of division. The second idea, the root of the word nao, is the word nous, means mind. And the idea of worry is your mind is divided. Is that ever good? A divided mind's like, I'm going to do it. I'm not sure I can. You know, it's a lack of confidence, a lack of, I'm not sure how this is going to go. It just makes me really unstable, unsure. And that's what I want you guys to get a hold of, right? And just to clear a point, we want to understand worry can be differentiated from planning. Like, you might know you have an important appointment tomorrow. Plan for it, prep for it, but don't think about it all day today, all day yesterday, all night tonight. Just do what you can do and then leave it with God. Right? And that's the key thing, right? And by the way, is that easy? No, and that's where we have to kind of change what we do. By the way, some of these facts are not new to us. What's new to us is actually doing what the Bible says, right? In a regular way, in a systematic, consistent way. So I want to give you guys hope. Everybody look up. This is the hopeful part. If you were asleep for a minute, got a little rest, you're more prepared to hear this hopeful part, okay? So, and I know it's hot. We got the air cranked up. Pastor Ansley, by the way, I heard it was like a refrigerator last weekend here. He wanted to make sure you didn't miss anything about his message, right? So I want to talk about this. Here's the hopeful piece, right? We're going to dig into more scripture in a second. So godly concern becomes sinful worry when this happens. Your thoughts are focused on changing the future by yourself and for yourself. And a lot of times, a lot of our worry, a lot of our anxiety is, I don't like what this situation is doing to my life, my desires, and what I want to do. So now I worry about it, and I've kind of crossed over this line of being helpful and planning and doing what God wants me to do and what my expectations are to a different place. And here's the thought about that. Your thoughts become kind of unproductive. So when you guys worry, right? Has that really helped anybody? Raise your hand if that's helped you. When you're like, you just worry real good and then things just change for the better. Anybody had that experience? Not really, right? Okay. So your thoughts are unpredictable, not helpful. By the way, when you're in that mode, you're kind of like in analysis paralysis where you worry, 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 but nothing gets done. Nothing gets implemented. Nothing changes. It just keeps going on through the same thing, right? That's the idea. And then here's the deal. Godly concern becomes sinful worry when it controls you instead of you controlling it. Like, you wake up worried, you go to sleep worried, you know, all day is worried. It's just a controlling thing. And then here's what happens. Worry causes us a lot of times just to finally shut down. And it causes us to neglect our God-given responsibilities and relationships. Because we're just burnt out. You ever hear that phrase? They use that phrase, burnout. We are just, there's nothing left to do what I'm supposed to do. So I can't be a father. I can't be a husband. I can't be a wife. I can't be whoever I am in these relationships because I got nothing left because I burned it all up with sinful worry and anxiety. Make sense? And by the way, I won't raise your hand. A lot of us have been there, maybe are there, and God wants to bring us out of there, right? So here's the thought I want you guys to get into your mind. And there's a book called by Dr. Paul Tripp. It's called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. Some of you guys have read this book, very powerful book. But I want you guys to think about the things of life this way. Everybody look up. There is a, you kind of think of it as two circles, right? There's an inside circle, and those are all the things that God has given you biblical responsibility to do. If you're a husband, you're called to love your wife. If you're a wife, you're called to love your husband and respect him. If you're a kid, you're called to obey your parents, you know, and we're called to be kind. We're called to serve each other, pray for each other, comfort one another. There's all kinds of one another's that we are supposed to be doing. Those are our responsibilities. That's the inner circle. And by the way, you can't delegate those. You can't give them to anyone, including God. God's not going to do your job because he's given that responsibility to you. That's the inner circle, right? So our deal with the inner circle is this. What do I have to do? I have to faithfully obey. By the way, I'll throw this out. In the power of God. So these are the things that God has called me to do that I cannot pass on to anyone else. The only response is to seek to understand and faithfully obey God in these areas. Okay? Everybody got it? So wherever your walk is in life, whatever you're doing in life, wherever you are, maybe you're a grandparent, great-grandparent, father, mother, whatever you are, God's assigned you certain things to do. You got to do those things. Here's the problem, right? God's not going to come do your stuff, but here's the other problem. You can't go do God's stuff. That makes sense? And by the way, that's when we get into this problem. It's called the outer circle. Your concerns, your worries, the things that are on your mind about your kids that are now grown up, the things that are on your mind about all these things in your life that you cannot control. Your health, your husband's health, your wife's health, your children's health. You're going to do everything you can to make it better, but you cannot, what? Control it. Right? And here's the deal. What we're supposed to do in those is, if it's our responsibility, I'm going to give you a test. If it's our responsibility, what are we supposed to do? Faithfully obey. If it's not our responsibility, what are we supposed to do? Entrust it to God. Right? And you're familiar with the passage Pastor Anson quoted a little while ago. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. Jesus said, humbly cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And these cares are kind of those out of the circle things. Might be the inside the circle things too. But guess what? There's no point in us worrying about what we cannot change. We have to entrust that to the God who can do everything to take care of his business. Right? Does that make sense? So a lot of times the things that are stressing us and worrying us are not our things. They're God's. And the issue really is our faith. So these are the things that concern me but are beyond my ability to change. Thus, they are not my responsibility. I need to identify these things and entrust them to God. And I'll throw this out. Failure for us to do that damages our body, causes us to lose hope, and ultimately shuts us down. Does that make sense? So everybody look up for a second. Here's the takeaway. Let's be honest. How many people here today are a little worried or have some anxiety? Raise your hand. Should be every single person, probably, right? If it's not you today, it will be tomorrow or Tuesday, right? But here's the deal. Here's an activity you can do. If you look at all the things and ask yourself the question about why are you worried, why are you anxious, what are the things you're worried about and anxious about, put them into the inner circle, you're responsible, or put them into the outer circle, I need to entrust those to God. I need to cast my cares onto God because those cares are crushing me. They're too much. And that's kind of the point. By the way, do we do that often? We don't really think about, is this really my responsibility or is this God's responsibility? And what we need to do in our Christian walk is kind of carve things up the way they are and put them in the right bucket so the right person can be responsible for them. If it's God, give it to God. If it's you, in God's power, seek to accomplish it. Understand it, right? That's kind of the issue. So we're going to jump in real fast to just kind of dissecting this issue of worry, fear, and anxiety in another way. So we want to go to Matthew chapter 6 for a couple moments this morning. We're not going to go verse by verse and word by word, but I want you to understand the teaching of this passage, right? And by the way, in Matthew chapter 6, I want you to understand that this passage about worry is preceded by a passage about our treasures. God understands us, doesn't he? And I want to just read this verse that says, and Greg read it so well, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. Doesn't money cause us to worry? Anybody worried about money? Right? You know, the market, with all things going on, all the volatility in the politics, the market is up one day, it's down one day. You make a million one day and you lose a million the next day. You know, in our case, 100. But, you know, it's up and down, right? It's crazy, right? And they say this even as investors. If you're investing for the long term, sometimes don't even look because it just freaks you out every day. It makes you want to sell when you shouldn't sell, right? But that's the world we live in. And he said, and by the way, and the Lord knows this, and he says it. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moss nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I want to stop. Everybody look up for a second. Get this idea. You know what we worry about? What we value. And we value more things than our relationship with God. Money matters. And I put it here, right? Our money, our health, our reputation, our relationships are valuable to us. And when these are threatened, guess what happens? Anxiety just blooms. Big time, right? And the Lord knows that. That's why he kind of put these passages together as he did. And he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And here's the idea here, right? We value all these things. And by the way, is it bad to necessarily value money? Should we as a people plan for our retirement? What do you think? Absolutely. Should we plan for our kids' education? Absolutely. Should we plan for a home? Absolutely. Right? But the issue isn't that we value those things, is that we value them too much. Too much. We kind of put them things above God often, and those things are not ultimately going to bring us that lasting satisfaction and eternal life, right? So our anxiety is reduced when our growing focus is more on eternal values, not the temporary thing. By the way, do we need money to live? Yes. In America, you need money to live. In most countries around the world, you need money to live. It's a necessary form of exchange, but it is not the most important thing. Right? So our eternal values really matter as we stop and we think about this. So worry reveals what I really value. And if I value anything more than God, that's called idolatry. So if we're really good worriers, we have to kind of ask ourselves, what's going on? And what is it that we value so much, or maybe too much, that is causing me to always be anxious? That's a very good question, isn't it? So we'll slide down. Here's the next part. My anxiety also reflects my view and my trust in God. You know, as believers in Christ, what do we say? Trust God. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. When your paths are crooked, what's going on? Where we going? What happened, God? What's going on? Like God made a mistake, right? And look what he says here. He says, and he gives us the illustration, by the way. Stop and think about this illustration. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And he breaks it down into like the lowest elements, right? What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So he makes this comparison. I want you guys to stop and think about this for a second. And he says, look at the birds of the air. Anybody like birds? I know guy may not all that day old or week old or 2 week old bread. A lot of it goes to his house because he loves the birds. As I get older, we love the birds too. So it must be like when you get old, you like birds or something. I don't know what it is, right? But we love birds, right? But, you know, you ever stop and look at the birds of the air? Last night we were working in our backyard, kind of. The grass wasn't cut for 8 days, and weeds have taken over. But we were working in the garden, and a hummingbird came up to our flowers. It's called a ruby-throated hummingbird. You know, the wings are going over 1,000 flaps in a second. It's unbelievable, right? You know, the body of the bird is this beautiful green. It has this bright red throat on it. It's amazing. And it's here, and it's gone in the blink of an eye. And here's the funny thing. Do you think the hummingbird's worried? Who takes care of it? Right? God does. And that's what he tries to say. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, they don't plant seeds in the ground so they can go harvest their crop. They don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And here's the question. As human beings, are we more valued than the birds? And he uses that way. You think of the idea of a sparrow. Does anybody really love sparrows? They kind of look, there's a million different varieties. We learned about that this year. But they all kind of look similar, right? They're sort of shades of brown and tan, a little gray. They're not amazing. Like, you know, distinguish like a cardinal that's bright red or a blue jay that's blue. Or a hummingbird that's just so different, or a swallow, but a sparrow. There's a million of them out there. And God takes care of every single one. Do you think that God is going to take care of you in the same way? And the answer should be yes, right? And then he asks another question in a similar way. He says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Can you picture like lilies? There's all different kinds of lilies. There's sort of those orange tiger lilies. There's different varieties of colors of those. There's those white lilies that we see at Easter. I mean, aren't they amazing? How'd they get that way? God made them that way. God takes care of them, right? And he kind of asks that question. So he says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and really gone tomorrow, is what he's saying, thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? And the challenge that God's trying to present to us is this, right? You worry about what you're responsible for, and let me worry about everything else that you're not. Because I'm going to take care of it, right? That's this picture he's trying to get us to focus on. Our anxiety really stems from our heart of unbelief. We know God's good, but we're not sure he's going to be good to us right now. we have to realize he is, because that's his character, right? Our pride and our desire to control causes us to take matters into our own hands to fulfill our desires and wants, and they're often not God's. We must keep our focus on his faithfulness. By the way, we heard it say in those songs, like, you guys, Rosemary, like, a magical choice of songs today that just kind of focused on God's faithfulness, God's ability to do what we can't do, right? It's all right there. So my anxiety often reflects my view and my trust in God. And then we can skip down to the, he kind of summarizes that for us in the next chapter. He said, next verses, he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. I want to throw that out to us. Is God asleep? Is God not on the game? Is God not aware of what our needs are? And the answer, of course, is no. He knows all of our needs, and he meets all of our needs. And that's what we have to kind of rest our trust in. And he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will become yours. And then, by the way, here's another problem we have. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I'm going to throw this out. Monday's coming, right? Tuesday's coming too. You probably got your calendar. You know what's coming up. And if there's something you're concerned about, you're worried about it now. You're worried about tomorrow's problems. It's not even tomorrow. That's what worry does, right? Plan for it. Prep for it. Leave the results to God, right? That's what he's trying to say we need to do, right? You know, we must keep our focus on his faithfulness. And here's a thought. If we are so worried about tomorrow, we'll have no presence or joy in today. Isn't that true? All we're thinking about, all we're doing is worrying about tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. Live today in the grace of God and in the love of God that he gives us, right? Don't run ahead of God to solve tomorrow's problems. He will help you tomorrow as well. He's not leaving the scene, right? So what do we do? What's this pathway, right, to fight these foes? How do we do that? Here's one way. Don't focus your life on all of your worries and concerns. Be faithful and responsible to what God has called you to do today. Keep your hands busy, your mind engaged in eternal things. And by the way, Paul wrote this in the book of Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians. He said this about them. He says, and by the way, don't think that these people didn't suffer. They received the gospel under duress. They were, you know, under Roman authority. There was a whole lot of things going on. Paul said this. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and take this last one, your patience of hope, your perseverance in knowing that God is going to bring to pass exactly what he wants to do. And look what he says, knowing, beloved, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men were among you for your sake. That's what we want to do. We want to be busy at doing the kingdom work that God has called us to do and made us responsible for, not worrying about everything else. By the way, and you see it today in our world today. How many people, if you watch the news, it just gets you fired up every day? Be real. Isn't it true? You watch the news, and it's like, ah! You know, what crazy thing took place today? What crazy idea was launched today? And we're like, oh, my God. You know, it's like every day is another idea. Like, you couldn't have dreamed it up if you tried, right? Don't worry about all that stuff, right? God's got that under control, right? It's time to change and be who God wants us to do. So I want to throw this out. We're done. Determining my applications for today. So what are you going to do? Hopefully your understanding is a little different than when we started this morning, right? So here's the first thing. And we went back to where we started. this idea of analyzing and clarifying our issues. I want to challenge you today, if you're worried, put your issues that you're worried about in your bucket or God's bucket. Work hard at your bucket, give the rest, cast all your cares to the Lord for those other issues. That's a big step. I think as Christians, sometimes we even do a little casting, and then we reel it right back in and hang on to it. So the idea that the Greek word there is the word called ekbalo, has the idea of like throw. It's like throw it away, throw it out, right? Get rid of it. So I encourage you today, if you've got issues you're worried about, if they're your issues, in God's help, solve them. If they're God's issues, give them to God and let him do what you can't do. Huge thing, right? If you're anxious, a worrier in a sinful way, confess it to God. He already knows, but he tells us, confess our sins, right? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tell him about your sins of fear, worry, and anxiety. And by the way, I'll be there with you at the throne confessing mine too. We're all going to be there with you, right? Prayer. That's how we cast these things to God. God, Philippians 4 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Tell God everything that's on your mind, on your heart, everything that you need help with, everything you can't do, tell him that. Tell him even more than once today if you have to. And how about the rest of us? Encouragement. You know, when we come to the body, give encouragement. Not just everything's going to work out. Tell him that God is going to work it out and tell him how he already worked it out in your life. You know, we come together on a Sunday. Sometimes we're dragging our bones here. Even the pastor, sometimes we're dragging our bones here too. We're kind of going, is it Sunday? Oh, no. Right? But when we come here, usually when we leave here, we're saying, boy, I'm so glad I drug my bones here. Right? Because we get lifted up and encouraged and taken out of the mire and the problems of this life and say, there's still hope. Be the body when you come, right? Encourage each other. Give it to each other and get it from each other each and every week. And let's allow God to transform our minds, especially in those two areas. If you're responsible for it, don't worry about it. Get God's help and work on it. If you're not responsible for it, cast it away for real. Give it to God. Let your mind be transformed that way. And then let's live out our faith as we serve others. Because that's why God left us here on earth. Amen? We're going to pray. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for your word. Father, your word, you say in your word in John 8, Lord, that the truth sets us free. I pray, dear God, this morning that the truth of your word about worry, anxiety, and fear would free us, Lord, from those sinful fears, sinful worries, and sinful anxious moments. And I pray, dear God, that you would work in us, Lord, to really think honestly about these things, to give you what's yours, and to work on in your power what's ours. And I pray, dear God, that we would not hasten and worry about tomorrow's problems, but that we would just focus on today's. Help us, dear God, in all of these things to change. And Lord, I just pray that you'd work in each one of us. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name, Lord, with thanksgiving. And I just want to say, keep your eyes closed just for a second today. Is there anybody here today that's just feeling like so, so anxious? So, so worried about something going on in life? And you just say, you know, Pastor Gary, I know you got issues too, but would you pray for me? Raise your hand. Would you pray for me? I really want to pray for you guys. There's a lot of us here, right, that we're wrestling our way through life. Father God, I just want to pray, Lord, for those hands that are up, Lord, physically, and those hands that are up, Lord, in hearts, Lord, spiritually, that just need your help. And I pray, dear God, that they would experience, Lord, your grace, your peace. I pray, Lord, that you would help them just to sort out these issues of life, Lord, that are ours and those that are not. And I pray, dear God, that you would just really reduce greatly the anxiety and the worry and the fear, Lord, that we live under every single day. Father, work in our hearts, I pray, and I ask these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Our praise team is going to sing us out of here today. with an old hymn about trusting our Lord. From Gloria Meekins, she said this: worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but we don't go anywhere. Amen, right? And then I share a quote that's unknown author: worry is a trickle of fear running through the mind, ever cutting a deeper gorge, which thoughts are all drained. Think about that. Worry just kind of just keeps wearing its way, wearing its way, wearing its way, and it leaves us in a place of hopelessness. So I want to challenge everybody today. Guess what? Let's give to God his stuff. Let's focus on our stuff, and let's just cast our cares on him so we can have a freedom to live life. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for all the things, Lord, that you have done and are doing. And I just pray, dear God, that you would work, Lord, in us to really transform us and to change us more into the image of Christ, Lord, and into believers, Lord, that are trusting you and following you in everything. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Everybody have a great day.